Are you still grieving, even months after the passing of someone in your life? The effects of grief, loss, and mourning are long-lived, even if it seems the rest of the world has moved on. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Living with Grief at issuesetc.org. When you purchase Living with Grief, be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. As a pastor who's preached a lot of funerals, I've seen it. You can look right down from the pulpit into the front pew where the grieving family is, and you see all different kinds of reaction. It's all grief, but it looks different from the outside. They are all reacting to the same event, the death of a loved one, father, mother, grandmother. But when you see them, some are crying, some are stoic, some are withdrawn, some are listening to the sermon with almost a smile on their face as the resurrection of Christ and the victory of Christ over death, therefore the Christian over death, is preached. It's a diverse experience. I've had it myself. Shortly after my mother died several years ago, someone said, "You need to grieve." They didn't think I was sufficiently sorrowful. And I said, "Well, I am. And this is what it looks like right now." We're going to talk about comfort for the grieving, the first part of a conversation with Dr. Christian Kincaid, the author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. He's pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dubuque, Iowa. Dr. Kincaid, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much, Todd. Really a blessing to be with you.
You say that one common denominator that has surfaced amid the diversity of grief that you have both experienced and encountered, what is that common denominator?
Well, Todd, I've had the great joy of serving in the parish for 33 years. So I think of all the dear people who I have visited, stood with, had the great joy of ministering to. And that one common denominator that's so important is the necessity and the comfort of God's holy word. So God's word, that's what the pastor can bring. Not strategies or to psychologize, but to bring the treasure of God's word. And that word is living and efficacious. It gives what it says it gives. It does what it says it does. So you think of that great well of comfort for the soul, that bastion of truth that brings us Christ. That's the one thing that's so critically, critically important, to bring the Word of God, to bring the truth to these dear, sorrowing souls.
Talk about what you call the diversity of grief.
Well, Todd, I think this is very important, too, that we understand that grief is highly personal. It's highly idiosyncratic. It's not like one size fits all. So grief impacts people in a myriad of ways, in varying ways. Grief is complex. It's not simple. We fall, I think, too often into these stages that we move through. And everyone has to work through these stages. But grief is much more complex than that. And it's very highly personal, affecting people in different ways.
Why is it so important that we recognize death as our enemy?
I think this is a very important point. Sin brings death. So death is our enemy. Not to be befriended is death. So I think it's important, Todd, too, that we understand that death is a defeated enemy. What we could never do, Christ has done in full for us. But we don't want to befriend that which is clearly our enemy. So we get into things like trying to think some lives aren't worth living. And that's befriending death, because every life is precious. So I think of someone in a nursing home, they're there on their bed, and someone could say, horrifically, what value does this person have? they have great value because God created that person. Or we think of someone contemplating, is life worth living? Yeah, it is worth living. Or we get into the horrors of abortion. So death, we should never befriend death. It should be seen as our enemy always, which tells us that life is precious. Life is of God. But again, very important that we remember Christ Jesus has defeated death because Jesus lives.
How do we try to ward off death by human ingenuity?
I think we've seen that in so many different ways. I think I mentioned in the book about cryogenics, freezing the dead body in the hope, vain hope, that one day with our human acumen, our ingenuity, that death will become eradicated. It's not going to happen. Death reigns. Also, you look at history, and years ago, like the pelt of a wolf to be worn could ward off death, or a sack of potatoes around the neck could also bring relief from disease and ward off death. But Todd, the point that I think is so important here is no matter what we do, death reigns. And all those who work feverishly to eradicate death, all those people have died. So the answer is never in what we do, but the answer is always in what Christ has done for us in full. Death stands tall. We all topple over, but not when it comes to Jesus, our risen, living Lord and Savior. No matter what we do, no matter what advances we make, death will stand. Only in Christ and his bodily resurrection is there victory.
You say that Scripture distinguishes between three kinds of death. What are they?
We can speak of physical death, which is the soul leaving the body. Then, Todd, we can speak of spiritual death. Literally, we have the walking dead among us. No faith in Christ. They're the living dead. And then Scripture tells us of eternal death, which is the soul of the unbeliever in hell. So there's those three types of death, physical, spiritual, and eternal death.
Talk a bit about the stories of the resurrection in the Old and the New Testaments and what they show us about the coming of Christ who would defeat death on our behalf.
Oh, yeah, this God's Word, what a treasure here. So you look into the Old Testament to mention a few of these wonderful accounts. There's Elijah and the widow's son who will be raised to life. It tells us that we too will be raised. And then we have Elisha and the Shunammite woman whose son dies. And I'm amazed at this because she travels to see Elisha. And he asks her, are you okay, in so many words. And she says this remarkable thing, all is well. And it's not just a greeting like, hello, but her son has died. And she says, all is well. Now, whether her son would have stayed dead or been raised, she could still say, all is well. And we can say that very same thing. So all these things, these wonderful accounts of the resurrection, are written for our instruction, and we should read, mark, learn, and take these wonderful truths to heart. There's others, of course, but then you think of the accounts in the New Testament, the daughter of Jairus who will be raised. I think of the widow's son at Nain. She's known grief before. She's a widow, and now her only son has died, and they're leaving Nain, and there's this procession going out, and here comes our dear Lord into Nain. Now, someone has to turn around, but it won't be Christ because he stops that procession, and he speaks to the widow, and he speaks to the dead, and he says, arise. And it's death that does an about face, not Christ. And then, of course, we think of Lazarus and Mary and Martha saying, oh, Lord, there'll be an odor. But Jesus says, Lazarus, I say to you, arise, Lazarus, come out. And there's no odor coming out of that tomb. There's life that wafts out of that tomb. Lazarus comes out. So all of these things are our comfort, and they're written for our learning. But I think, Todd, the greatest thing is Jesus. Jesus came to death. Death didn't come to Jesus, because Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. In great love, the greatest love, Jesus comes to death for us on the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying, paying the price in full for our every sin. And isn't it wonderful? His tomb is a borrowed tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. It would be borrowed because it wouldn't be needed for very long, those 3 days. That's the greatest thing, that Jesus lives. He is risen mightily, bodily, victoriously. So this great treasure of God's holy word and these great things written for our comfort, so wonderful truths for us there.
How do secular theories of grief, while they may have some utility, oversimplify the issue?
In my understanding, it places all people in the same sequence. So grief then is something we do. It's something that we get through. Anger, bargaining. Finally, you strive and work and work, and you come to accept, and then you can move on. But in my estimation, this is absolutely oversimplifying grief. And the uniqueness of each person really is not acknowledged. And again, I think the focus is wrong. It's you do this, where comfort is Christ does this. So for me, comfort is what we receive. It's not something that we do. And I think that's very, very important for pastors and people in the church, these dear people, to receive this comfort. So I wrote in the book about when I was a young pastor, and a couple of weeks after I was ordained and installed, a dear man died. And his wife looked at me and she said, how do I go on? That's a good question. So I thought about that, and I'm sorry to say that what went through my mind was, well, what stage of grief is she in, and how do we move her along? And I visited an older pastor looking for his counsel and advice, and he was rather simple about the whole thing. Dare I say flippant about it, like, well, she'll get over this. You know, she'll come to accept it. But I think that's where we go wrong. And when that comes into the church, then true comfort is lacking.
We're talking about comfort for the grieving with Dr. Christian Kincaid. On the other side of the break, why is it important that we do more than simply understand grief in a clinical sense? Stay tuned. I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues, Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you. Good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. LutheranFCU.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Christian Kincaid about comfort for the grieving. He is pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dubuque, Iowa, and author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. So we were talking before about the secular theories of grief and how they oversimplify. Why do we need more than to understand grief in a clinical sense, Dr. Kincaid?
Because, Todd, I think if we only understand grief in that clinical sense, then I think that lends itself to strategizing. I know it does. And I think it lends itself to psychologizing. And if we focus on those things, then I'm just going to ask this question. In those things, where is Christ? Where is His Word? Where is the reminder of baptism? And where is the Holy Supper? So I think that's why we have to understand this much more richly and fully. I think that's the care of the soul demands that.
How is the divine service both the best remedy and the comfort ultimately for those who are grieving?
Oh, Todd, because the divine service, isn't that wonderful? The divine service is God giving His gifts. The Comforter is there, Christ. And through word and sacrament, what comfort He affords. I love the liturgy because we speak back that which God has already spoken. And how comforting to hear that your sins are forgiven. No ifs, ands, or buts. Holy absolution. Just those few words, but in all their scriptural fullness, I forgive you all your sins. And then to remember our baptism, that we are God's children, claimed, called, marked, and washed. The Lord has carved our name on His very hand. And then, Todd, I think of this coming to the table that Jesus has set before us in full, in the presence of our enemies, of sin, death, yes, our enemy, all these worldly lies. That table is set in full. And Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood given for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. So really, the divine service, God's gifts to His people, where our faith is strengthened, where our wounds are tended to and dressed by Christ, a great oasis for us in this world, God's house, blessings abound.
You say that there are, and you have discovered that there are emotional, physical, and spiritual impacts of grief. Talk first about the emotional impacts.
Well, we can speak there of things like a broken heart, which is not figurative language. It's actually a broken heart. There's intense sorrow, and that's okay. We grieve, but not as those who have no hope. And David talks about drenching his couch with tears. So Christians grieve. We can speak also of things, depression and anxiety and worries and the emotional impact that leads to questions such as, how can I go on? How am I going to get through this? And again, Todd, I just want to kind of reiterate that these can be very diverse. But just so your listeners know, there is this emotional impact of grief. That's important.
I don't think people often consider the physical impacts of grief. What are they?
Again, they're diverse. But you can see grief in posture, perhaps bent over. You can see grief etched on the faces of people. You can see that it looks like they've been punched in the gut. There can be sleep problems, and there can be loss of appetite, and there can be a lack of energy, and gastrointestinal digestive difficulties, a lack of energy, these kind of things. There definitely is a physical impact.
And the spiritual impacts?
Well, Todd, this is probably the greatest concern I have for God's people, this spiritual impact. And by that I mean the questions that come, such as, why did this happen? Does God care for me? Or questioning God's love, saying, God, why did you do this? This is a very vulnerable time for God's people. And again, that shows the importance of word and sacrament. So the spiritual impacts, how do we address them? Not by strategies or psychologizing or these flippant responses, oh, you'll be okay, you'll get over this. Oh, no. We bring them Christ. That's so very, very important. And it's okay to ask these questions. God can handle it. And we don't want to just give answers off the top of our head, but always bringing God's word to God's people. So very important.
We're talking to Dr. Christian Kincaid, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. When we return, we'll discuss the example of Job for the grieving, and we'll talk about his own struggles with grief after the death of his loved ones. Stay tuned.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The naturalist assumption applied to the issue of the resurrection rides roughshod over all the evidence. And it really, I mean, to put it in, I guess, scientific terms, it really is not a scientific approach to this historical question of what accounts for the empty tomb if you're ignoring massive amounts of evidence.
It's not all or nothing. It's not we're going to close our doors or we're going to continue limping along. Let's put the Word of God first.
And by thinking that the Bible's about me, that I have to make it relatable to other people, it then makes it so that Christ becomes a supporting character that makes few appearances in Scripture, and yet you don't know what to do with them.
If Christ's flesh is eaten, nothing but spirit comes of it. For it is a spiritual flesh and does not let itself be transformed, but transforms the person who eats it and gives him the spirit.
In a half hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites in their entirety, we will play them for you. Then you give us a call, send an email, or send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for one of them to be Soundbite of the Week. The listener with the best vote will get the LPR bundle package. That phone number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. The Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, we're talking about comfort for the grieving. Dr. Christian Kincaid is our guest. Dr. Kincaid, you write about Job as an example for the grieving. What did you find there?
Oh, there's so much there. And again, I encourage your listeners to open God's Word and read the book of Job. I think of the news he got, one after another. I think it was four messengers come, and they come with very difficult news. These camels and so on are just taken, and then it keeps coming in rapid succession. And then all his children are killed. And I think of his wife who says, curse God and die. So you read through the book of Job, and you see these difficult things happening to him. And you read of some of the counsel that is brought his way, some of which is like, what did you do, Job, to deserve this? You must have done something. But what's important for us to remember is one thing never changed, and that's the love of the Lord for Job. That never changed. And our lives have so many changes. That's true for each and every one of us, but for all of us, what does not change is Christ and his mercy, love, and grace for all of us. And I like how the Lord says to Job, hey, I will question you so we can fall into questioning God. Again, it shows the importance of his word. He loves us, and it's good to know that the Lord, he is God. So by what the Lord gives, that comfort, Job could say, I know that my Redeemer lives. Very important book, the unchanging love of God in that book for Job and for you, Todd, for me, for all of us.
Dr. Kincaid, you recorded six encounters that you had personally with grief in the last decade or so, beginning with the death of your mother. Tell us about your struggle with grief at that time.
So this was in 1988, and to show you how grief ebbs and flows, I still struggle with that. So she had a heart attack a few days before Christmas, no health problems before that. I was a newly installed and ordained pastor. Life was going well. And I received word that she was in the hospital. And I remember praying and thinking, she'll be okay. And she was. And the day after Christmas, 1988, I got to go see her in the hospital. 6-hour drive there. Was able to be home for a few days, Everything looked all right. And she actually got to come home for a while. And then my dad called me on January 25th and said two words, Todd, to me. Mom died. So I had to go from everything's going to be okay to my mother is dead. And that was a very difficult time for me. I was a pastor, yep. I proclaimed the word of God to others, yep. But I needed to hear that word. So what I fell into, and I want to be very honest, is how could you do this, God? Why did you do this? Bitter. There was a boulder on my shoulder that I put there. And there was one man who made a difference for me. And I think this shows the importance of sound pastoral care. And that was Pastor Roschke, my childhood pastor, who was my pastor until right after I graduated from high school. I turned to him because the days were long and the nights were longer, and you're living in this sorrow, and you're actually thinking of what stage am I in, and how do I get out of this? It's futile. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Roschke for a couple of reasons. He listened to me, but then he spoke not anything of his own idea, but he spoke the word of God to me. And he reminded me, God is good. And he reminded me of the blessing of having Christian parents. But he reminded me that my mother was God's baptized child. And he loved her. And his love had seen her safely home. So that voice from my past has made a big difference, even now in the present for me. So pastors who bring the word, great blessing.
What about your father's death?
Well, Todd, that was difficult too, of course. Where my mother died quickly and rather suddenly, we could say. For my dad, that was cancer. So this was slower, painful. He was lost without my mother. He loved her. Life was very difficult for him. He was in a nursing home. And again, I had the opportunity, it's about 2 hours away from where I am here in Dubuque, to go visit with him. And I thought about his life. He worked hard. He had served our nation. I was so blessed to have a Christian mother and father. And I thought of all those things. And then his life comes down to this tiny little room in a nursing home. But we had some really wonderful moments of remembering, of saying the Lord's Prayer together, of saying the creed together. And he asked me just a couple of simple questions that I could answer joyfully. Are my sins forgiven? Absolutely, Dad. Will I be in heaven? Absolutely. Will I see a mom again? Absolutely, because these things are promised in the Word. And Todd, I don't want to be redundant, but my father also had a very faithful pastor, Pastor Gary Arp, who brought him the Lord's Supper regularly and faithfully. So again, you see how God comforts his people so that they can say, I can depart in peace. Or think of the creed, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And then the Lord took my dad. He was all alone, but he really wasn't alone. I received a phone call to go see him, and I was about 20 minutes too late, but God is good, and he simply took my dad home.
Your sister was killed on September 11th, 2001, on board Flight 77, I believe the plane that was flown by terrorists into the Pentagon. Tell us about that and the aftermath.
Oh, I think just to hear that date, I think it brings difficulties to mind for all of us. So Karen Ann lived in Washington, D.C. She was a lawyer and had done well. She worked for the FCC first in her legal career and then worked for a private firm. She switched planes with one of her coworkers and then boarded that flight. Her husband, Peter, had taken her to the airport. They said they loved each other, gave each other a hug, and then we know what happened. I've thought about this a lot, Todd, but I want people to know it doesn't truly matter that Karen was a lawyer. What really matters is that Karen was baptized. Karen was a Christian. The circumstances of her death are difficult, but again, it's that comfort that we have, knowing that the Lord was with her. So I process it that way. There were some things I needed to know about that day. I write a little bit about that. The Department of Defense offered an autopsy, and I thought, why do I want to see that? I needed to see it so I could process this. I've looked at it. I don't plan to look at it again. I know what happened. I know what took place. But again, our lives are not defined by tragedy, but by Christ who loves us. But that's a very difficult situation, a very difficult day. But, Todd, there was also September 12th, and there was a September 13th. And each of those days, we have our Lord, risen Savior, Christ with us. So I want people to know that.
Well, then, that story has another tragic denouement. Your sister's husband took his own life some years later. What does this show us about the depth of grief?
Oh, I don't know how we can even plumb those depths. Peter, my sister's husband, I can't plumb the depths of that despair, Todd. We had seen him some months before. Who would have known that he was suffering so heartbroken so deeply for all those years? Very, very difficult to hear the news that he took his own life. I will let people know that he left a note. It said in so many words that he missed her, that he loved her. Again, I place this into the merciful hands of Christ. Because Peter was a Christian, Peter was baptized, but it does tell us about how insidious grief can be, that time doesn't heal wounds, that this can be replayed over and over, it ebbs and flows, but that's again a very, very difficult thing.
We're talking about comfort for the grieving with Dr. Christian Kincaid, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. The next Issues, Etc. journal will be sent out later this month. It contains rapper Flame's column about his journey to the Lutheran Confession, and Pastor Will Wheaton has written an article on Lutheran hymnody titled On Lutheran Dirges and Such. The online Issues, Etc. journal is free. Simply subscribe by clicking the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org and enter your email address. When we come back, we're going to talk about more tragedy, the loss of a child in 2008, and then the loss of his older brother. Stay tuned. Are you still grieving, even months after the passing of someone in your life? The effects of grief, loss, and mourning are long-lived, even if it seems the rest of the world has moved on. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Living with Grief at issuesetc.org. When you purchase Living with Grief, be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine this. What if you planned your vacation? You picked the location based upon where you knew there was a good Lutheran church. Well, we're here to let you know that if you're planning a Southern Oregon vacation, whether you visit Crater Lake, raft the Rogue, fish for salmon, or head down to the Redwoods, there's still a place for you to receive forgiveness. Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. What's a vacation without the gospel? Faith Lutheran Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Visit faithrogueriver.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about comfort for the grieving. Dr. Christian Kincaid is our guest. Pastor Kincaid, you and your wife lost a child before birth in 2008. If you would, please tell us about that.
Boy. From elation to heartbreak, a child, precious gift, miracle, wonderful gift, life. So we have three boys. All their names begin with the letter G. My wife told me that we were expecting another child. Just great joy. So the only problem we had was, well, what name are we going to use? What's a good name that starts with a G? So we thought of boy names. Another boy with the letter G. Another, a girl maybe, God's will, with the letter G. And all the planning. And I remember sitting down with our three little boys and saying, oh, we have some wonderful news. Mom's going to have a baby. And the joy that our other boys had. So then we talked about a nursery and, well, which boys are going to share a room, and we're going to decorate the nursery and we'll get the bassinet and the crib ready. And so all this excitement building, great news. And then my wife had a regular appointment to see how our dear little, we'll call this little one baby G, was developing. I had the great joy that day of being with her. I met her at the doctor's office, and we had seen these ultrasounds before, and just, again, the absolute miracle of life. Fearfully and wonderfully made are we all indeed. And that was exciting. The technician came in and got things ready, and we saw little baby G, saw hands, feet, fingers, toes, head. But what I write about in the book is kind of this look of consternation on the technician's face. It's not what she saw that bothered her, but what she didn't hear that bothered her, Todd, and that was that there was no heartbeat. And you just say, well, we'll try to check that again, would you please? And no heartbeat. Then we were taken to another room, and the doctor came in and verified that our little baby had died. This wonderful, wonderful joy, this expectation just quickly vanished into disbelief, shock, heartbreak, no crib, no nursery, none of that. So we had to tell our boys, and again, we gathered them in a room and explained to them that the baby had died. And I'll never forget our smallest boy just repeating, like, over and the baby died. Like, how could this happen? The baby died. And then, Todd, I want to let your listeners know this, too. My wife would of course, have to give birth to this little one. And it strikes me that to give birth to a dead baby, and my heart goes out to all those who have suffered in this way. But my wife did deliver that baby. It was the next day, in fact, the next morning, and she held that baby. She held her baby. That was her prayer, that she could hold her baby, and she did. And we buried that baby in my hometown, Waverly, Iowa, where I used to work in the cemetery. I dug graves in high school and college, and I dug this grave, too, for my own little baby G. Probably the hardest grave I've ever dug. So my heart goes out to all those who have suffered in such a way. But this is another importance of pastoral care. So I have a wonderful associate pastor, Pastor Jesse Sirlock, who's worked with me for 14 years. We gathered in God's house, Todd, and he brought us that comfort of the Word of God, that even when a child has not had the opportunity to be baptized, God is good. And I'm so glad my wife came to church and read the Word and heard the Word, because that little one did too. So again, there's comfort in all that, Todd, but very difficult.
And about a year ago, your older brother died. How do you respond to someone who says, my goodness, Pastor, you have had a horrible life of grief?
Oh, boy, I've had people say that, actually. I've had people say, yeah, you've been cursed, but that's not true. I'm deeply blessed, first to have been baptized, again to have Christian father and mother, all these dear people in my life. So our lives are not defined by sorrow or tragedy, but by Christ, who says, I love you. So I'm blessed, all by grace, totally undeserved. I know that my Redeemer lives. And you know what? God is good, not now and then, but God is good always. Not cursed, not horrible, but deeply blessed by grace, Todd.
How is despair, then, the greatest danger in the midst of grief?
Because despair says nobody cares. And that's not true. And despair says there's no hope for me. And that's not true. So to despair is not of God. I know we have difficulties. And I know we think at times no one cares. But despair must never have the final word, because it's a lie. The final word belongs to Christ. And he says, because I live, you too will live. He lives. And you know, he lives and he does silence all our fears. He lives and he does wipe away our tears. So we're never alone, never forsaken, never abandoned. So I think it's the devil who wants to separate us from Christ, who throws these horrible lies into our ears that no one cares and that there's no hope for you. Those are untrue things.
What is the answer to despair?
The answer to despair is the living Savior, Todd. Christ Jesus. The answer to despair is God's Word. Living, mighty, efficacious. The answer to despair is our baptism. The answer to despair is the Holy Supper. The answer to despair is God's gifts given in His house through Word and Sacrament.
Scripture says that Jesus Himself is a man of sorrow, acquainted with sorrow. What does that mean for us as we grieve?
Isn't that a wonderful truth? Jesus knows. Jesus cares. He sympathizes with us in our weakness. And again, I think of His great love in going to the cross for us. So He cares, and He's compassionate. He fed the hungry. He stilled the raging waves. He left the skin of a leper smooth and clear. So He cares for us. He knows what we're going through. Not only does He know, but He dresses our wounds with the balm of His love, care, and mercy. He's not aloof and distant. He's right here with us.
Finally, you say that in the midst of grief, our future remains certain. What do you mean by that, Pastor?
Our future is assured because God has spoken. And He says, because I live, you too will live. Jesus says, in My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is the first and the last. He tells us that He was dead, but behold, He forever lives. We have an assured future because we have Christ. And these great truths, again, are in God's inspired and inerrant Word. His Word is truth. So we can say again in the words of the Creed, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We have an assured future because we have a living Savior.
With all the grief that you have personally experienced in your life, someone might ask, well, do you just live waiting for the next shoe to drop when it comes to something tragic and grief-inducing in your life? What would you say?
I did live like that, Todd. I did. But I don't anymore. Because life is meant to be lived. And when we think, oh, what next? When is this going to happen? We're robbed. So this is the day that the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. I did live that way. And that's kind of a comfortless life. And again, I'm going to point to Pastor Roschke. You know, life is meant to be lived. There are difficulties and heartaches and sorrows, but there are also blessings, rich and full, day by day by day. So I'm going to go home and hug my kids. I want to spend time with my wife. I want to embrace the day and not live, oh, something terrible is going to happen, but rather say, look at the good God has given me this day.
Dr. Christian Kincaid is pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dubuque, Iowa. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. You can purchase Living with Grief online at issuesetc.org, click Talk on Demand Archives, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. When you order Living with Grief, please request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. Dr. Kincaid will be back next week for part two on Comfort for Grieving. Dr. Kincaid, thank you.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you for all you do. Thank you so very much.
Next, we'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites lined up for you. Your vote will decide which will be Soundbite of the Week, and we'll give away the LPR bundle package.
This This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our romp through Romans, exchanging the natural for the unnatural. Stop the judging already. Christ, the only judge, the conscience, and an honest appraisal. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Our pastors especially have carried a large burden to maintain Christ's instruction to provide word and sacrament ministry to their flocks. Thank your pastor by sending him an Ad Crucem greeting card or gift suitable for any budget. We recommend embroidered face masks, stunning posters confessing the faith, a crucifix or a pectoral cross, or how about a selection of Christmons? Recognize your faithful under-shepherd for upholding the office of holy ministry during these adverse circumstances. Visit adcrucem.com.
In sickness and in health, in these days of coronavirus panic, people are learning how difficult keeping this vow can be. The May issue of the Lutheran Witness looks at the wedding day. How does the couple plan their wedding with their pastor in a way that points to Christ, the only one by whom and through whom they can keep these impossible wedding vows? Read all about how Christ keeps his church in sickness and in health in the Lutheran Witness. Subscribe at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Arcadia, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Emmanuel Lutheran, Frankentrost, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Redeemer Lutheran, St. Cloud, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, San Benito, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee. And Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.